Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tech Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault?
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. How's everybody doing out there? Getting into these winter months, you're going to want to get your act together. You want to get your shields up. You might want to consider taking a look at some of our sponsors. They're doing great things over there. C60 Purple Power has been with us for a while now. We really appreciate and love their support. Their products are fantastic. I'm limited in what I can say due to FDA requirements and things like that, but I'll tell you, I've had a great response with it. It works for me. I do it every day. It's a tablespoon in the morning, and that's how I start my day. And then after I'm done, my cat jumps up on the counter and licks the spoon, which is kind of cute and also equally gross, but she's into it too. So they have it for your pets. If you have an aging pet, you might want to consider it. Take a look at their site, c60purplepower.com. Use the promo code MACRO on your way to check out. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. That's what I have to say, so that's why I'm saying it. But I'll tell you, they won the Nobel Prize for it. And I have to think that that's a big deal, right? That this substance that was so important that it took these guys decades to find it, even though it was theorized back in the 60s. Eventually, they figured it out. They found it in the late 80s. They won the Nobel Prize for it. It's super expensive to make and real complicated. Ken, the scientist, has explained to me the process, and I'll tell you, I can assure you that I did not understand anything he was saying. Except that the process sounded complicated. So if you're thinking of using it, if you're thinking of buying it, use the promo code MACRO, save yourself some money. They're a small business. They're located at in Boulder, Colorado. So you'd be helping a small business. And of course, Ken is, Ken's into the stuff that we're into, man. He understands the fight. He knows what we're up against. So you're supporting a company that is in alignment with your beliefs, more than likely. They're making a fantastic product. Cliff High calls it the best C60 product on the market, and I tend to, I appreciate Cliff High's opinion on a lot of things. So if you are interested, take a look and see if it is right for you. Also, True Hemp Science, they've been a new sponsor for us. Fantastic products. All I ask from Chris, who reached out to me from the company, was if this thing will fix my shoulder, if it will fix my left shoulder, like my rotator cuff, and make it not hurt, then I'm in. 2 weeks in, It was fixed. I don't feel any more pain. I'm kind of feeling like maybe I don't want to jinx that, you know, by talking about it too much. But all I can say is that right now I don't feel the pain that I have been feeling for, I don't know, three, four years. It's been a while. My shoulder's pretty messed up. So I'm grateful to them. You can take a look at their website, truehempscience.com/macroaggressions, and just see if it's right for you. I know a lot of people are making CBD. It's not anything necessarily revolutionary these days, but the way that these guys do it, it works. They're doing something right. I'm telling you, these products are super powerful. They come in little tiny containers. You just put a couple drops of oil on your tongue. That's it. Doesn't taste bad or good. It just doesn't taste like much of anything. And just go about your day. They've got a couple different types in there that are good for during the day. They'll give you a little bit of energy, a little bit of mental focus. And then they've got some that are better for nighttime. They'll kind of chill you out. And then they have other products that are just good for general use. So if you're thinking about Christmas presents for people, if you're thinking, well, I got to get something for somebody, this is a small business as well. They're based in Austin, Texas. We love that. They've been making these products for a little while now, and they're having a great result. So just take a look at truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. On your way out of the store at checkout, use the promo code MACRO. Save yourself a little bit of money. They've got free shipping over $150. And I know that Chris mentions that they like to throw in some little freebies from time to time. So don't be surprised if the elves over there at True Hemp Science are hooking you up. Well, it's that time of year. It's Ghislaine Maxwell trial time. Oh boy, let me tell you. For those of you that don't know a ton about this situation, I'm going to recap a little bit of the Epstein. Well, I'm going to recap a lot of the Epstein and also how Ghislaine Maxwell fits into this. If you hear anybody on the streets or in your family talking about, well, maybe she was being manipulated by Jeffrey Epstein, maybe she was, you know, duped into that, you just put an end to that immediately. Don't even allow that conversation to happen. Ghislaine Maxwell was not duped into this. She was the ringleader of it. She was not just a willing participant. She was a conspirator in this. Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell were partners on this. They worked very closely. One didn't go anywhere without the other, okay? They participated in the rape of these children. They trafficked them together. They recruited them. She groomed them. She was involved, okay? Don't let anybody tell you differently. She didn't have a gun to her head. She was the one with the gun in that scenario, right? She's not a good person. She comes from a crime family, and we're going to talk a little bit about her background. So let's start with her dad. All right, her dad was Robert Maxwell, spy chief, the bouncing Czech, they called him. He was Czechoslovakian, bouncing Czech, because from time to time, the employees of the Mirror, the media conglomerate that he owned, wouldn't get their checks, you know, because he was such a sketchy individual. He stole all the pension money from the Mirror. He was a grifter. He was a pedophile. He was a spy for the Russians. He was a spy for the Mossad. He was a spy for the United Kingdom. He was a Rupert Murdoch-like figure, right? Talking about running a media empire and all of the likes, right? So he was close with royalty. He was involved in all of the affairs of the establishment elite in the UK and also in Israel. He was he was a triple cross spy that damn near got himself killed by the Russians. He died in 1989 by falling into the water from his yacht in the Canary Islands. Canary Islands are where that volcano is going off. And I'm sure he just slipped on a banana peel, right? And just slid right off the back of the boat and into the water, bonked his head and peacefully went to the bottom of the sea. Or he was shot with poisonous darts and thrown into the ocean where he was found floating. I don't know. Take your pick. He was more, it was obviously a hit job. Let's be honest here. That's what he was. He was also involved in the stealing of the Promise software, the spy software. Now, if you know anything about the Danny Casolaro, who wrote the book The Octopus, Danny Casolaro wrote about that. The Promise software was this software program that was developed by a company. It was stolen by the Mossad. It was loaded up into the banking software of countries all around the world. Robert Maxwell went around selling this software to everyone, and it had a backdoor in it so that the Israelis could keep track of all of the things that were happening. It was originally billed as like a court tracking software. You could manage court cases and see where they were happening and what was going on with them, but it was eventually stolen by these people, the spies, the Mossad, and then used to infiltrate governments all over the world. By the way, for what it's worth, Danny Casolaro was 44 when he wrote The Octopus. I was 44 when I wrote The Octopus of Global Control. The major difference, and thankfully there is a huge difference here, is that I did not wind up packed into a bathtub in a motel with my wrist slit up and down his arms the way Casolaro was. So that's what happens when you get on the wrong side of the people that were running this operation. So it's not just the dad who is a huge problem. It's all the children too. The daughters of Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine, she is up to her old tricks with Epstein, of course, which we'll get into. But let's talk about her sisters. She has two sisters. Well, she has a couple sisters, but two of them that are twins, Christine and Isabel Maxwell. Christine Maxwell started a company called Chiliad, which is a data mining company. Interesting, right? That's the family business, is software programs that are mining your data for spies, whether that be the Promise software stolen from Inslaw, or whether it be Chiliad's data mining software that they partnered up with Bill Gates on. You'll find wherever you find spy software, you'll find a Maxwell, right? You'll find a Maxwell somewhere around there. Christine Maxwell is married to a guy named Roger Molina. Roger Molina's dad, Frank Molina, was one of the guys that started Jet Propulsion's laboratory. He was part of the Suicide Squad with Jack Parsons, Aleister Crowley, and L. Ron Hubbard. So that's an interesting group. A Satanist, a Scientologist, and a scientist. A rocket expert. So if you're wondering about, Christine Maxwell's ties to some of this fuckery, well, don't worry, because she's married into the family that was tied to NASA and all of their scummy stuff and all of the hardcore Luciferianism that was tied up in the development of JPL. JPL is like based in Pasadena, California. It's a company that is deeply involved with NASA on the rocket programs and things like that. So she's got ties to that. Then, and of course, this Frank Molina, the father-in-law, Christine Maxwell's father-in-law, he was deeply involved in the United Nations. He was partnered up with Julian Huxley, the brother of Aldous Huxley. So they're all in this, right? They're all sort of in this group. And then we've got the other sister, Isabel Maxwell. She is the director of Israel Venture Network. She's a VC, and I don't mean Viet Cong. maybe she is. I don't know. She's deeply involved. She's the head of technology with the World Economic Forum, right? We've mentioned this before, so this is going to be a refresher for some people that are that have caught the episodes on Epstein before. But I think it's important to paint a picture of who this family is, who the Maxwells are, what they're involved in, where their loyalties lie. Their loyalties lie with Israel. All right. Isabel Maxwell was based there. Christine Maxwell is, you know, her Chilead company has Israeli ties. It is also the company that works with the FBI's counterterrorism data warehouse. So why would you let the fox guard the hen house? Why would you let Christine Maxwell, the daughter of a Israeli spy, be in charge of the FBI's counterterrorism data warehouse when they were selling software which has back doors in it so that you can spy on people's data warehouses? That just doesn't make any sense to me, unless of course you want them to spy, or you've made it so that they have entry into the FBI's data. Which, you know, once you hear the story of Epstein, that's actually not too surprising to know about the relationship between the FBI, Jeffrey Epstein, the Maxwell sisters, the Maxwell family in general. They're all at the same parties, if you know what I mean. So Isabel Maxwell, back to her. She's the World Economic Forum technology head. She is involved with what they call the Fourth Industrial Revolution. That is the blending of man with machine. It's transhumanism, right? Can you think of transhumanism on its own is deeply terrifying and a slippery slope. Add in the fact that the World Economic Forum is involved with this sort of blending of man and machine, and that should definitely creep you out. Then add the cherry on top, which is one of the Maxwell sisters is running that operation. So it's all bad. It's brain implants, it's AI, it's mind control from a family that was mind controlled themselves, from a family that used sexual blackmail to enslave people, entrap people into situations, be that Robert Maxwell doing that or his daughter Ghislaine taking the torch and running with it. They're always involved in compromise operations. They always want to get the goods on someone else. They're devious, shitty human beings. And Ghislaine is where she belongs. Well, really where she belongs is 6 feet underground. But she's where she belongs for now. We'll see how this trial plays out. But I don't have a good feeling about it, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. So a little bit more about Isabel Maxwell. It's as if working with the World Economic Forum isn't bad enough. Let's just run through a list of what she has been involved with. So this is one of the two twin sisters, not Ghislaine. Ghislaine is not a twin. She has two sisters that are twins, Isabel and Christine Maxwell. So this is Isabel, brought in to run a company called ComTouch in 1997, went public in 1999 because of money raised from Paul Allen and Bill Gates of Microsoft, as well as Microsoft in general. This company was not doing well. They were running out of money. They were not doing the things that you need to do to be a company to take a company public until she had the Bill Gates, Paul Allen component to this until that came in. Once that happened, then things started to change. They wound up ComTouch. Their software became integrated into Hotmail and was considered the backbone of that email system. So they wound up taking this part of this company and using it to fuel Hotmail, which, if you remember, like in the late 90s, Hotmail was a big deal. At first it was independent, then it was bought by Microsoft for, I think, $400 million, if I'm not mistaken, early in like 2000s or maybe late 99s, something like that. But even after they took it public, it still was a money loser. It never really did much. So but it wasn't about making money for them, right? It later became a company called Cyren, C-Y-R-E-N, and it runs in the background of Microsoft, Google, Intel, McAfee, and Dell products. So that is clearly alarming when you know that one of the Maxwell sisters has software, you know, runs a software company, or at least past tense ran a software company that was about the becoming integrated into the backbone of email systems. Just think of the spying opportunities there, that it wasn't just Hotmail. It was also Google, and it was Intel, and it was Dell, and it was McAfee. These names are ubiquitous. I mean, these are products that are going throughout everything. Intel chips, McAfee antivirus, Dell computers, all kinds, and Microsoft software. So they were involved in a lot. This company had the ability to get involved in just about everything. In 2006, she created Maxwell Communications Network that was used to connect startup Israeli companies with Silicon Valley venture capital and angel firms. So now she's the director of Israel Venture Networks, and she has a son named Alex Gerasi, who was put in charge of the State Department's Bureau of Near Eastern Affairs by Hillary Clinton, where he worked on the Arab Spring in Libya. What a fucking surprise, right? You got more Maxwells involved in this. So, interesting note, Saif Gaddafi, the son of Muammar Gaddafi, was friends with Prince Andrew, and they met on many occasions. He was hosted at Buckingham Palace a couple times. So the Gaddafis and the Windsors, I guess, are friends, or at least, I don't know, maybe they still are. Isabel was married three times, but husband number three, Al Seckel, was a sketchy dude. He never annulled one of his other wives, and he used to throw these tech parties on Epstein Island called Mindshift. For fun and physics, don't you know? And he was found dead at the bottom of a cliff in 2015. And then Isabel Maxwell filed for bankruptcy later that year. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people, huh? So we've established that the Maxwell twins are up to no good. We know that. And the dad was a certified piece of shit. That has been established many, many years ago. So who is Ghislaine? Is she just a socialite that likes to party with rich and famous people and gallivant across the world and fly helicopters and pilot submarines and save the ocean? Or is she a more despicable character? Well, look, the answer is she's both. She is a socialite gallivanting around the globe and a despicable human being. It's evidenced by the fact that every single one of these women that was involved with Epstein tell the same story about being raped by her. So she was a coke conspirator and a participant in this. She was on all the planes all the time. She was the one that was handling the payouts. She was the one that was... was asking other younger Epstein employees to find girls, kids under, you know, these were 14-year-old girls, to find them at malls, to find them at high schools, to find them wherever, make sure that they came from broken homes, make sure they weren't in a position to rat on them. And then get them to come over for a massage for $200. And then then Epstein would flip over during the massage. And if you want to earn a little bit more, you can go get to work downstairs and do all that. And she managed this, right? So she ran this, she was the chief operations officer of this Rape Incorporated. So that is something that people need to remember when you hear the casual conversations about maybe she was just dragged into this against her will. No, just shut that shut that conversation down immediately because you don't even need to allow it to happen. Oh, and did I mention she was present at Chelsea Clinton's wedding? And you can see the picture of her leaning in down the aisle as Chelsea's walking down. So, look, you invited the Clintons, who are part of this whole thing, knee-deep in it, all of them. You invite a child sex trafficker groomer to show up at your daughter's wedding. You know, to one of those hot industry ticket, you know, events. Oh, you're going to Chelsea's wedding? Oh, no, sorry. I didn't get an invite. Maybe next time, right? Well, Ghislaine Maxwell got an invite because she's friends with them. And not just a little bit either. Like very close friends. Friends with Chelsea. They're buddies, right? Go have brunch and have champagne together. These people are all the same. Don't allow Chelsea Clinton to get off the hook either just because her parents are two of the worst people in the world and you assume there's no possible way she could be as bad as them. You're right. She's not as bad as them. She's involved. Okay? There are no innocent people in this situation. And you will know that the Clinton Foundation was heavily involved in financing Ghislaine Maxwell's Terramar project. And the Terramar project had to do with, her big vision for Terramar was for them to gain enough, quote, ocean citizens to form their own ocean nation. And they mention citizenship to the ocean. Right, that's what they're talking. They're planning on having the United Nations recognize them as an ocean nation. Terramar wanted to do so. So she was into this. She had this really strange idea. She became a submarine pilot, and she was going to save the oceans. Right, she was going to save. She was pushing for a variety of things. She had was involved in. A project called Reef Connect, which made the waters around Epstein's Islands a marine protected area. She did that in 2012. Gee, I wonder why you would want the islands around or the water around Epstein's Island to be marine protected areas. Well, I guess it means that the authorities can't get in there. That was part of it. So anyway, but it was part of a much bigger plan that she had. She was involved with what was called the Marvita Foundation, which creates special zones of marine protection, which keeps boats away. Got to keep boats away, do you? You want to keep boats away from your island? Why on earth would you want to do that? Is there some sort of nefarious activity happening on your island? Maybe. By the way, in case you have forgotten, I'd like to remind you that when I wrote the book Controlled Demolition of the American Empire with Jeff Berwick, right? We're not quite done writing the book. I get a message from him and he says, "We've done something astounding. You're going to need to check it out in about 20 minutes. Go on YouTube." And I was like, "Oh, I mean, you know, when Jeff Berwick tells you we've done something, you're like, "Uh-oh, what have we done?" Because I certainly wasn't with him when we did anything. Well, he was talking about Luke Radowski. And what they did was they stormed Epstein's Island and walked around for like an hour and a half filming everything until they finally got chased off by security. So you can find the footage of that to, you know, just as a little aside, you know. So what else was this lunatic Ghislaine working on? She was working on something called the High Seas Alliance. It's directly tied to the United Nations. And they also were pushing for the designation of protected areas and to make them beyond national jurisdiction. Again, why would you need to be beyond national jurisdiction? I like the idea, to be fair. I like the idea of being out of everybody's jurisdiction, right? Out on the ocean where like nobody can get you. But I am not running a child sex trafficking operation either. So when I say I want to be outside of the jurisdiction of the authorities, it's because I want everyone to leave me the fuck alone. Unfortunately, they had different plans for what they wanted to do with that in anonymity. And it, And it was pretty bad. So who was financing this Terramar project? This we're going to save the world. We're going to save the oceans. Ghislaine Maxwell is coming to save the oceans. Oh, well, Sir Richard Branson donated money to it. He is a sketchy individual. Professor Murray Gell-Mann donated money. He's a Nobel Prize physicist. He's a distinguished fellow at the Santa Fe Institute. Santa Fe Institute, you say? Would that happen to be Santa Fe, New Mexico, next to the other Epstein compound? Well, blimey it is. Yes, yes. Professor Murray Gell-Mann had been on the island many, many times. And funny, he happened to have money to finance Terramar, along with the Clinton Foundation. The Clinton Foundation was definitely involved in helping, you know, in helping to helping Ghislaine in her mission to create a, basically she wants to do what she wants to do what a couple of these rich maniacs wants to do, to create like a water world. Remember that shitty movie that Kevin Costner was in years ago where they built this sort of like its own city out in the middle of the ocean? They actually built it in real life out in Hawaii, and the first version sank, and so they had to build a second version, which is the reason why the movie cost so goddamn much money. But these people want to do this. They want to get out into international waters and set up a community out there that basically is supranatural, that is something that is beyond nations, beyond the nation state. Like I said, she was petitioning the United Nations to recognize this as an ocean nation, right? So they want, and I'm just, allow yourself for a second to go there. Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell start their own country out in the middle of the ocean. You know, what could possibly go wrong, right? I wonder what the age of consent would be there. 3? These people are disgusting, but this is how they think. So since I mentioned Murray Gell-Mann, and since I mentioned Santa Fe, I think it's important to recap what Epstein was doing at Santa Fe. Well, really, what Epstein was doing with a lot of these scientists that he was bringing out there, they all had kind of a common theme. They had a common specialty. They were dealing with population structures. They were dealing with, they were working on using mathematical models on living structures. Theoretical biology was what they called part of it. They would, the evolutionary game theory. So what that means is if we take a little piece here, we add a little, you know, you take a simulation. If we add a virus, what does that do to the population? If we add a virus plus, then now we add the media times a million to it, what does that do to the virus? What happens to population structures? Can we get people scared? What if a virus spreads here? Where will people move? Where will they migrate? Will they go south? Will they go north? Will they go nowhere? What will happen? So he spent, Epstein spent a ton of money with these guys like Martin Nowak, who's written books about evolutionary game theory and cancer, viruses, infectious diseases, and the evolution of language. So he wanted to have these guys come in and help him understand what will happen with regard to population structures when you introduce variables such as viruses. I'd also like to remind people that Jeffrey Epstein was heavily involved with Larry Fink and these guys at Blackstone. And who is running the operation right now? Blackstone is the post-vaccine COVID sort of financial component of it. They've partnered with the Federal Reserve to help the Fed allocate resources better. It's definitely not better, more efficiently. I don't know. But But these guys are all part of the same group. And when you hear about Epstein financing scientists, a lot of people go, well, I get it. I get it that he was like bringing in politicians, and I get it that he was bringing in the heads of like big banks and CEOs of multinational companies and insurance companies and things like that. I get that. He was getting those guys in bad situations, compromising them, and then having the goods on them. I get that. But what was he doing with the scientists? Well, this is what he was doing with the scientists. He was working on evolutionary game theory. He was working with guys that have written about this. Martin Nowak wrote in a book in 2006, his book called Evolutionary Dynamics, Exploring the Equations of Life. He wrote about evolution with regard to infinite populations and how AIDS and infectious viruses can play a role and impact populations. So there are, so he's financing these guys to talk to him about what happens with viruses. What happens with, you know, he brings in the guy that can tell him what happens when you introduce AIDS. And what are we finding in some of these new variants? HIV traces. So I think these guys are deeply connected. Epstein visited Martin Nowak at least 40 times at Harvard after his conviction. So Martin Nowak can play this game where, oh, I didn't know what was going on, and I didn't know Epstein was involved. Shut the fuck up. Stop it. You're insulting my intelligence by pretending that. You knew exactly who he was. You knew exactly what he was involved in. You took his money anyway, and you became his guy. And he's written, you know, multiple books on this. So Epstein was deeply involved in trying to figure out things like genetic instability, genetic redundancy. He was looking into gene mutations. He was deeply interested in viruses, specifically HIV and AIDS. He was involved in evolutionary game theory, which is the evolution of population through Darwinism. He was involved in evolutionary graph theory, which is the evolution of a population. And he was involved in research along the lines of the prisoner's dilemma. So he wanted to understand the science behind viruses. He wanted to understand the psychology behind how populations respond to viruses. He wanted to know what would happen if you injected HIV and AIDS into a situation, what that would do. And he had the money to finance these guys. So Martin Nowak, one of these scientist guys that Epstein captured, has been barred from starting new research or advising students for 2 years, but he will be allowed to continue teaching. They shut down his program for evolutionary dynamics at Harvard. But, you know, Harvard, if you know anything about Harvard, Harvard's not the good guys here. So that's something that I think doesn't get talked about quite enough, is what Epstein was doing with regard to the scientists. And, you know, when you hear about that in 2017, 2018, you go, well, maybe he's just a wannabe. He's a wannabe physicist, right? That by all accounts, the people that mentioned knowing Epstein or having interactions with him at these events that would be put on his island, some of them by Isabel Maxwell's dead ex-husband, people would say the same thing with regard to describing Epstein's involvement in this. They said he was very interested in it, but he was also very stupid when it came to it. He would try to talk about it with these guys, and they would say, no, you're off. You know, you don't know. No, it doesn't work like that. So they described him as being rich and fascinated, but with the mental capacity of someone who was like 12 years old. When it came to understanding this, nobody took Epstein seriously, but that's what he was into. Okay, so why am I not why am I not thrilled with the judge in this case? Well, first of all, take a look at her. She looks like she's on on their team right off the bat. She is a self-avowed lover of not physical lover, but how should I say this? She has a deep affinity for Alan Dershowitz. Thinks he's a genius. Thinks he's a tremendous, brilliant lawyer. She is a LGBT Zionist. She took a promotion from Biden. She's been promoted into this role by Joe Biden, which I will just call that a straight out bribe. I mean, you take that promotion with strings attached. And she's a member of Quill and Dagger, which is the sister organization to Skull and Bones. She is not going to put Ghislaine Maxwell in prison. I am almost certain of it. Now, to be fair, I will see how it all plays out. When you are hearing this, just know that I have recorded this a week before you're hearing it. So the Maxwell trial has just gotten started. And we're just a couple days into it. By the time you're listening to this, there may be new developments. But as it stands right now, let's get to the juiciness of it, right? So the first thing that came out on day one was that the pilot mentioned flying Prince Andrew, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, Kevin Spacey, John Glenn, George Mitchell, and others on the plane at least once. With the case of Bill Clinton, he mentioned it was multiple times. This is the Lolita Express. It's either the Lolita Express, the 727 that Jeffrey Epstein owned, or it could have been the Gulfstream. He was a pilot for both of them. He was also involved in installing the audio video equipment at the home at the homes of Maxwell for some reason. I guess he's like a pilot slash geek squad guy from Best Buy. I don't know. I guess he's good at technology. So he was involved in rigging up the electronics for some reason. I guess you just have the pilot do it too. I don't get good vibes from the pilot. I think the pilot knew exactly what was going on. He's playing dumb, of course, but I don't think you can have that role for that long and be as trusted as you would have to be and not know what was happening. So I want to mention something, and I've mentioned this before with regard to the Lolita Express, the 50-year-old airplane, the 727, the big one with the tacky airplane that he had with the big round couch and the bed in the back and all that. It's an unusual airplane. It's an old airplane. They're 50 years old. They are described as like a Volkswagen Jetta. Or a Honda Accord. All of the parts for that are sort of like generic parts, right? You can get lots of different parts will fit this car. Apparently the 727 is one of those airplanes that a lot of parts will fit it, so it's cheaper to maintain it. Why Epstein would be price sensitive would be, you know, beyond me. I don't think that he was. I think that the main reason why Jeffrey Epstein owned a 727 is because of the rear folding staircase at the back. Now, it's an unusual feature. When these planes were in service for TWA and airlines like that back in the 70s and 80s, you could get on the plane and the rolling staircase that they'll roll up to the front of the plane if you're in sort of a smaller airport that doesn't use like a jetway or an inside terminal. If you were out at a smaller airport, you get off the plane, you go down the staircase, right? They drive that like car with like the staircase car over, right? And they park it there and then you go down the stairs. Well, you could also go out the back of it. I remember doing that years ago. I remember, like, when I was a kid going, oh, this is weird. We can go out the back door too. This is cool. All right, whatever. And doing that before, years and years ago. I mean, a long time ago. I don't think many people even see one of these planes anymore. But the feature about the rear staircase that's unusual is that it can be deployed during flight. You can put this staircase down without it depressurizing the entire cabin just due to the way it's set up. So if you're 10,000 feet or below, you can drop this thing. You can drop the staircase down. So what that means is that it means that you can throw things out. Okay. It means that while in flight, you can throw something out. Now, anybody that owns one of these 727 planes, my initial concern would not be that you were throwing things out of it. But when it's owned by Jeffrey Epstein, and then there's another plane, same type, owned by Peter Nygaard, who is the Canadian fashion mogul from Winnipeg, who had his own island in the Bahamas and is now in custody for running a child sex trafficking ring, kind of just like Epstein, and had Prince Andrew over at his island on multiple occasions, just like Epstein. Well, you know, then I start to get a bit suspicious. Why are all these rich pedophiles flying airplanes with staircases that can deploy during flight? Are they throwing kids out? Are they throwing people that cross them out? Are they dropping crates filled with weapons and parachutes out? Are they what the fuck are they doing with it? Right, I want to know. Now my mind doesn't immediately go to they're throwing kids out of airplanes until I start to see a pattern. But considering you've got Nygaard, you've got Epstein, and by the way, you've also got Donald Trump, who owned a similar airplane. Now, am I suggesting that Donald Trump was running a child trafficking operation? No, I am not. I will accuse Donald Trump of quite a few things. I am not currently accusing him of that. So I don't think that he's throwing people out of his air. I'm just saying that if you're going to mention high-profile people with an unusually old airplane that has a unique trick to it, well, then you have to be intellectually honest and also mention Donald Trump, too, if you know that he's got that situation. So what do we make of the all of a sudden recent rash of high-level, C-level executives departing the minute that the Maxwell trial starts? We have Jack Dorsey from Twitter, Square, walking away from Twitter. This is now the second time. First time, I think he was bumped out of the CEO role by Biz Stone and Ev Williams. But now I think that now he's left again, you know, to spend more time running Square. Because he was a CEO of Square, the payment processing company, as well as being the CEO of Twitter. So he was doing like double duty. That's a lot of work, right? So is Jack Dorsey out for any sort of nefarious Ghislaine Maxwell connected reasons? Maybe. I'm not willing to say he's off the hook because he's got ties to some unsavory characters too. But we've got the CFO of Walmart out. We've got the CFO of CNBC out. Who else is going to leave, right? Who else? So what's going on? We know, I mean, we've already got a long list of people that had Leon Black from Apollo Management. He was out after his relationship with Epstein has been exposed. So we've got the possibility that these people are dropping off in anticipation of some bad news coming their way. We'll see what happens. Here's the reason why I don't think that this case is going to actually wind up giving us what we want. In part because of Judge Allison Nathan, who I don't trust at all. I think she's compromised. I think she's on Team Israel. And I think that that is going to prevent her from ever saying anything or doing anything that's going to keep Ghislaine Maxwell in bars, behind bars. But also, let's remember this. James Comey, that lying scumbag piece of shit, his daughter is the prosecutor. Okay. So I can see a scenario, and this is speculation on my part, but allow me to speculate here. I can envision a scenario in which James Comey's daughter, the prosecutor, makes some terrible mistakes during the prosecuting of Ghislaine Maxwell, and the judge, Judge Allison Nathan, dismisses the case with prejudice, meaning it cannot be tried again. I can see a scenario in which something like that happens, where there's just, oh, just, you know, gross incompetence on the part of the prosecutor, and the judge steps in and says, this is ridiculous. I'm going to take care of this right now. You guys are screwing this whole thing up. I'm dismissing this case with prejudice. Ghislaine, you may now walk out of the courtroom a free woman. If that happens, don't be surprised. I'm just saying. Don't even for a second be surprised. These people are dangerous, okay? They know a lot of people. They have connections that you and I don't have. They are above reproach in certain circles. So there's no celebrating the Ghislaine Maxwell case, even the fact that, hey, look, she's on trial. It's a show trial. It's a show trial. If it were a real trial, there'd be cameras in there. But there aren't, because they don't want you to see what's actually going on. They don't want people to recognize Ghislaine Maxwell when she's let out, possibly. I think that it is... I think people need to brace themselves to be extremely frustrated when this trial ends, because I do not think... I'm not trying to put bad juju out there into the universe or anything, but I just am not confident that this is going to go the way we think it should go. Because what we haven't talked about yet is the role of Les Wexner in this. He is the founder, CEO. I don't think he's the CEO anymore. He's the founder of Limited Group. Which is Limited Clothing, Express Men's, Victoria's Secret, Bath and Body Works, a lot of mall stores. Those of us in the United States, you go into a mall, you're going to find at least three of these stores, maybe even more. Les Wexner is a dangerous guy. He is the head of the Kosher Nostra, the Jewish Mafia. He has been. He's one of those guys. He's a part of the World Jewish Congress. He is on the board of Conrad Black's Hollinger International, which includes Margaret Thatcher, Henry Kissinger, Richard Pearl, and William F. Buckley. That's maybe the most God damn. Now I just kind of looked at that again. Hollinger International's board of directors, Margaret Thatcher's dead, but Margaret Thatcher, Henry Kissinger, I think Henry Kissinger is probably going to live another 100 years, I think, evil never dies, right? Richard Pearl and William F. Buckley. Again, just all Zionists, right? Just straight up. And to be clear, because I always have to make this differentiation when you talk about Zionism. Zionism is a political designation, right? It's like a Republican Democratic thing. It's not a slam against Jewish people to call somebody Zionist. It's a political designation. So you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. Okay. So, and in fact, Joe Biden's on the record saying, you don't have to be Jewish to be a Zionist. I'm a proud Zionist. So it is a designation. It's not a religion or anything like that. So if you say that these people are dangerous because they're Zionists, I don't want people to get the wrong idea and say, oh, you're saying that they're dangerous because they're Jewish. And that's not what I'm saying. They happen to be Jewish, but that also is just a coincidence in this case. the religion doesn't have anything to do with it. The mentality does. So Wexner is also on the board of the Aspen Institute, along with Madeleine Albright, Katie Couric, who's been to the island a bunch. So when Katie Couric is like, oh, you know, I didn't want to, oh, I edited my interview with Ruth Bader Ginsburg because I didn't want to make her feel bad and everything. Katie Couric has been at Epstein's Island a bunch. They're friends. They were friends. Okay. So just know that. Just know who you're dealing with here. Also on this board of the Aspen Institute, Michael Eisner, Laura Lauder from the Estee Lauder family, and Margot Pritzker, the number one financier of the trans agenda. Oh, and Condoleezza Rice. So these are Les Wexner's buddies, right? He's a member of this group. He's a member of the Mega Group. Have you heard of the Mega Group? The Mega Group is a group of Jewish billionaires. Yes, you have to be Jewish to be in this group. It was started in 1991. It was started by Edgar Bronfman and Les Wexner. They are the two heads. Edgar Bronfman was the head of the World Jewish Congress. He is a Canadian. He was the Canadian heir to the Seagram's fortune. Other members of the mega group include Lawrence Tisch, who is the founder of the Lowe's Hotel Group, Max Lender from Lender's Bagels, Charles Schusserman, Harvey Bud Meyerhoff, Max Fisher, Michael Steinhardt, Leonard Abrams, and Steven Spielberg. So the mega group is a group of extremely wealthy Jewish pedophiles that are known to be running what they basically have called the Jewish mafia. And this is the guy who financed Epstein's career. Okay, so when people talk about what Epstein was doing, who was he? Where he was with intelligence, right? That's what Alex Acosta was told when he was trying to prosecute, trying to prosecute Epstein back in 2008, right? He belongs to intelligence. This is part of the intelligence network that they're talking about. Was it CIA? Probably. Was it Mossad? Definitely. Was it FBI? Possibly. You know, but it wasn't just one. And you learn this when your partner, Ghislaine Maxwell's dad, was one of these super spies as well. Russia, UK, Israel, right? He's triple threat. So this group, the mega group, and their co-founder, Les Wexner, gives his money to Jeffrey Epstein, who has, at some early on, one client, Les Wexner. The townhome in Manhattan, the rape house in Manhattan that Jeffrey Epstein lived in for many years, was sold to him for a $10 transaction fee by Les Wexner. The house was rigged with surveillance equipment in every room. A separate room was sort of built off to the side that what housed all of the electronics, and it was staffed by an actual human being or two to coordinate that control room with all the cameras and microphones and take all the information and process it and whatever they did. And just so you are aware, that whole rigging of the home was done before Jeffrey Epstein had it. So when Les Wexner owned it, that's when the modifications were made. So any sort of statement to the contrary, Les Wexner was just this old man, he didn't know what was happening, he got taken advantage of, he wished he'd never met Jeffrey Epstein, he wished he'd never given this guy his money to manage for him, like all of that, those are all lies. He knew exactly who he was. He brought him into this organization. You know, you got to understand. He wasn't some accident that Jeffrey Epstein turned out to be a pedophile scumbag running a brownstone operation. He was brought in specifically to do that at Les Wexner's request, right? So this is a deep case. Right? This is the type of case that you'll never really get to the bottom of because of the types of people that are involved. And that's the reason why I listed off all of the folks that are involved with the mega group and things like that, because you need to understand that there are a lot of people, very powerful, that are one degree of separation away from Jeffrey Epstein that are not just in the banking industry, and they're not just the scientists that he was working with, but they're representative of many industries. Arms trafficking, arms dealing, hotels, bagels even, you know, movie industry, Steven Spielberg. Now, I don't know if you guys know about the reputation of Steven Spielberg, but I'll tell you, shout out to Jamie Deluxe. If you are interested, go check out some of his work on what happened with Steven Spielberg and Carol Ann from Poltergeist. Remember the girl there, here, you know, that girl who wound up dying. Jamie Deluxe has done some really great work on that. If you're interested, you can go to his YouTube channel and see, well, I just search however you want to. You're going to see Steven Spielberg in a very different light. And, you know, spoiler alert, it ain't good. It ain't good. And I would suggest that if you're a part of the mega group, you're a bad guy, right? You're on the wrong side of this. So blackmail operations tend to ensnare very important people. When you're Ghislaine Maxwell, you knew them all. You got the goods on all of them. Do I think that there are going to be some powerful people that are making appeals to whoever they need to get her out of there? I do. I think that phone calls have been made. I think threats have been made. I think bribes have been paid. I think blackmail has been threatened. I think everything is on the table right now. This is going to be one of the most important trials, but I just want to caution everybody not to get their hopes up for a conviction. It's not how these things typically work. I would expect some grade A level government fuckery to be at foot here. And I think that, the depths of Epstein and Maxwell's crimes against children will continue to be covered up. And I have never wanted to be wrong about something so much in my life. I really hope that I am. Look, if you like this episode, take the additional step of sharing it with your friends and family. And I appreciate all of you that have done that. I want to thank you all for listening. I like that I get the emails from people saying, I listen with my brother, or I listen with my dad, or I listen with whatever. The family component of it is, I'm flattered. I'm surprised. Definitely would not describe this as a family show. So all of you that watch or listen to this show with your family, what kind of families are you guys operating there? You sick, deviant, degenerate weirdos. I love you all, though. If you want to connect with me, the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. You can follow me at macroaggressions, and I will talk to you all soon.